Okay, the kids have dismissed. Let's pray. Let's pray for Randy. Pray for the kids. He's up there with the children's church today. And guys, we're just going to continue on this morning in our study through 1 John. We're kind of at the beginning of that and excited to see what the Lord has in store. Lord, we just pray over today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for just moving. Even in something so familiar, something with so much tradition as Christmas music, it was powerful to go tell it on the mountain and to just fall on our knees, Lord, before you. And Jesus, we celebrate your birthday. We celebrate you coming back for us. We celebrate our God, our Creator, who isn't far away but is so close, that you came, you walked with us, you've experienced what we've experienced, you've walked where we've walked, and we just praise you for that, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us, that Jesus, you would be our Lord and Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and lead us as we get into your word today, Lord, and we have a discussion around this. I just pray for your glory and your honor, that we might be edified and lifted up and built up into the men and women that you've created us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just say, guys, we started 1 John last week, and once again, if you're just visiting with us, we'll go through the book of the Bible. Here's the asterisk, okay, or the warning for you. It's not necessarily a straight study through that. We're trying our best. We just got done talking about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and like how that works, and now who would we be if we didn't try to walk in that Spirit? So I tell you that today is a day where I've taken the scripture, the Lord has spoken to me, and us, as we begin to pray about this, I want to invite you in to kind of some conversations, some thoughts, create some foundation for what John is going to say. So we're going to be in the book that we know is 1 John, which is a letter written by John. Okay, good, we're awake. And John had a brother. What was John's brother's name? James, right? And the two of them together were known as Sons of Thunder. And then somehow that man who God got hold of, Son of Thunder, became the disciple that Jesus loved and the one that wrote our gospel, right, about love. So that's pretty awesome. That's the God that we serve, the God that created us and loved us. Last week we talked a little bit. We went also into John, which is also written by... Yes, we're awake, we're doing this. So let me, I don't want to just keep going and jump into this. So let me invite you in. This is kind of like the conversations that Brandy and I are having, my wife. And so this is a little bit of behind the curtain, if you will, okay? You can't come over. We don't have enough seats for all you to sit, but we're here together. We're kind of talking about similar things. So first of all, last week we talked about this idea that in John, John let us know in John that Jesus came and he was what John called the Word of God. In 1 John, John says that Jesus was the life, right? So he's the Word and the life. And really, one thing we talked about last week is this idea that God is speaking. He has been speaking. He has been trying to express himself. He has been communicating with us since creation. As a matter of fact, do you remember from Genesis how things were created? They were spoken, right? And what other ways do you think? I'm going to do something a little bit weird. You guys might not have been in a service like this before, but I want you to help me, okay? Will you help me? That's okay. When God was speaking, how was he speaking? When we read through the testimony of all of God's people throughout time, right? We have the law and the prophets, the stuff we call the Old Testament, the New Testament. Which ways was God speaking to us? So audibly, through the prophets, visions, signs and wonders, right? Would you say? The burning bush. There's miraculous things he was doing, right? It even tells us in the Bible that, like, even if we didn't praise God, the rocks would cry out. Like creation itself. Now, this might blow your mind if you think about it, and if I think about it, it does. Are stars beautiful? Yes, right? I think we can all agree stars are beautiful. Now, did God make them and then make us think they're beautiful? Or did we think they were beautiful first and that's why he made them to be beautiful? I don't know, but his love is even in the sky every night. Right? Have you heard a baby laugh? Right. Have you looked at, have you ever actually just loved someone, men, women, women, men, and you looked at them and you were like, wow, right, blown away? You ever had a cheeseburger? I mean, come on, God loves you. He's been speaking, and formally, yeah, the prophets came, and they tried to bring the word of God, and what did we do to them? Killed them, right? The judges, right, the kings, prophets, disciples, pretty much all those guys, with maybe the exception of John, died, right, for their faith, right? John's the one that made it to the old man status. Everyone else seemed to have been killed for what they believed as they tried to speak what God was sharing with them. So God, what we said last week is we did not listen to God, so he sent his son Jesus to be his word. Jesus came to be the expression, the communication of God, like his heart, his thoughts, his love, his power, his word to his people to say, I'm still here, I still love you, and I'm not far off. Even though I'm so powerful that I can speak into existence as the universe, I'm still so intimate and so close that I come down to you in the form of a man, actually in the form of a baby, to walk with you. So I made notes here. Let me ask you this. If I say something, because I'm going to take you down a little journey here before we get into that. If you have a question or it's confusing, would you raise your hand so I don't go over it too fast? Deal? Okay. So we didn't listen. He was trying to speak to us. He wanted us to know his heart. He wanted us to know truth. He wanted us to know his power. He wanted us to know his convictions and promises and commandments. He wanted you and I to know how to live. In the beginning, when there was the man and the woman, he said, here is how you live. Eat of these trees, but don't eat of this one. Why? I don't have the mind of God, but there's a lot of reasons maybe why. But ultimately, we thought right then, and we still think that God's holding out on us. That life is not in God, life is on the outside of God. And so we harden our heart, we deafen our hearing, we cloud over our eyes, so much so that God's like, here, hold my coffee, I gotta go take care of things, right? Is what basically God did, and he came down in Jesus. And that's why we have snowflakes and lights and we're singing. Because our God didn't leave us alone, it's huge. See, we couldn't hear him because the term is our hearts were hardened, right? Like, no. That they were hardened by what? The false world that we see. Like, you realize, I mean, we know this in human terms. There's more than meets the eye, is a human saying, right? What you see isn't everything. That we were blinded and we were given, right? We were given a world that was not real because we were dependent on what we can see, feel, taste, and touch. So we didn't hear, we didn't see, we didn't experience the truth. Okay, how am I doing here? Is this mirroring your experience? Because that's the other problem. You know what I'm tired of? I don't want to come into church and tell you about a reality that doesn't exist. Right? It's not working. Can we do something a little different? And I don't want to be afraid to do this with you. Right? So this is it. What you see, what you think, even what you value, it might all be a facade. It might all be given to you falsely. You see, because truth, real life, is in God and through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but it's not necessarily always seen by our limited vision. It's like anyone, right? And you can get a taste for this. Let me give you an example. And I don't mean, I love the youth, so they know I can pick on them. But when I remember... Yeah, it's been a few of those stars rising and set sunsets since I was in youth, but I do remember feeling like high school was like everything, right? Those 4 years were everything. And then now it's like you got, most of your clothes are more than 4 years old as you get older, right? So for them, it seems like the biggest and deepest reality. And if it's not going well, then your life sucks. It really doesn't. It's going to fly by so quick. And pretty soon, you'll have underwear older than that, okay? And that's just the reality. So the 60-year-old can see that, but a 13-year-old doesn't get it, right? And then even the 40-year-old thinks, oh, this is falling apart, right? And then the 60-year-old's like, you don't have a clue, dude. Right? And then a 9-year-old's like, I quite don't care. And even what you 60-year-olds is worried about is foolish, right? So this is how this works. And God, who is, right, since the beginning of time, is really saying, yeah, but he has more patience than I. So he doesn't mock us. He's just like, yeah, I know. It seems this way to you, Will, but it's not true. Okay. See, however, right, we don't see all that. But what we do see with our vision, our hearing, our hearing, our eating, our tasting, our touching, is the physical world. And one of the points I made last week that I think we can be quick to forget, like I said, raise your hand if I'm being confusing here. This world was given to us. Do you understand that? What you see was given to you. When did a flannel like this become cool instead of only warm clothing for lumberjacks? And who really decided that? Right? Right? Did ever? I think it became cool, okay? That's the urban lumberjack thing. It's cool, man. Maybe it's 20 years ago, but it's cool, right? So, sponsored by Dixon, yeah. But also, yeah, like, okay, this is cool. This is fun, right? Like, you get on a little metal box and you fly down a track, death-defying speeds, and do flips. They call those roller coasters. And someone was like, that's a great idea to do. And we're all like, yeah. Because you feel like you're going to die, but you probably aren't. 99.9%. You won't unless your heart gives out. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But you are given these things. This is cool, this is not. This is fun, this is not. This is sexy, this is not. Yeah, question. Are those cool? Yes. See, for those who can't see, Lowell has some suspenders that are, there's American flags on there, right? Right, you see that? You can't see online, and the question is, are those cool? And the answer is definitely yes, okay? But really, that is what is given to you. So if we can keep that humility, I'm not saying don't wear flag suspenders or a flannel shirt, right? Like, who decided that being bald was less sexy than having hair? I mean, these are lies perpetuated by Satan himself, is what it is. Okay? Now, I got to throw that in there. However, see, what we do see, this world that's given to us, you've got to understand, we're perpetuating that with each other. But ultimately, what the Bible has been telling us is, listen, you've got to understand the world, your flesh, and evil are working in hand. And so it's like the Matrix that we talked about last week. Someone who wants to keep you immobilized, distracted, and ineffective is creating a false world in front of you. And although that was a fictional movie and not necessarily a Christian thing, this is absolutely true. What we've been given was a whole picture world that's fake, that's not real, that's been given to us by darkness, perpetuated by people in our sin, our fear, our insecurity, our herd mentality. They know that we're sheep, right? And they get us to follow them into flannel shirts, bald heads, and flag suspenders, right? And we simply lose track of that, right? It's easy to lose track of that. Because either there's Satan, Lucifer, the enemy, whatever you want to call him, there is a force set against you. Good news, the power that's with us through God is so much more powerful than that. But if you don't simply say no to those things in this world, that's what John's going to be talking to us. If we don't just say no to those things and say enough, then the enemy wins. When we say enough, God is good and faithful to help us out of that. Because even though I'm telling you, you're probably not going to be perfect, from now till when you take your last breath, it should be your hope to be holy, to be righteous. And when Jesus came, that didn't stop that plan. That is still your plan, to do what's right, to follow the Lord, to walk in righteousness, to be set apart, to be holy, set apart to God, right? You should still want to do that. And to know every pull into those things is not a thing of God, and it's not simply your weakness. There is an opposing force at hand. But here's the scary thing. I would present to you this as well. Most of this evil, darkness, the world has been carried forward, perpetuated by good people like you and me. I think most of you, if you found the biggest villains of your life, they've been flesh and blood, apparently, to you. Family members who hurt you, loved ones who betrayed you, ex-friends, bosses, employees, people who ran into you with their car or hurt you with their bodies. It was people. And you blame them and you blame yourself. See, Paul talked about this. Ephesians 6, 12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." That's what this is, present darkness. No matter how many Christmas lights we put on, we were walking in a world of overall present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, this elaborate world is not the reality. It will never satisfy, fill you. This is actually doesn't offer real life. Well, how do you know this, Will? Well, I'm like John in this letter. He is writing to people who are living like he's living. I know what it is. And I'm talking to you here and online as not someone who's never been sick or been hungry or been brokenhearted or been tempted to sin. I haven't handled my friendships always right. I haven't handled my temper always right. I haven't always correctly handled my sexuality. I've been lustful. I've been angry. I've been selfish. I've been afraid. I've been all of those things. And probably some of those this week. And so as we present this book, I can't leave this unfinished before we jump in. See, because God, the Creator, and this is what I've seen, and this is what I share for God, the Creator, seems to be silent. He seems to be silent for most Christians. And part of it is this. We don't want to talk about an enemy. We don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't want to talk about the fact that God speaks. What we want to do is tell you to read your Bible and to stay away from these things and do these things. And so what you observe when you come in here, or all the people who aren't coming in here, is that God seems to be silent. All the people like me who are speaking for him seem like hypocrites, who are either lying or exaggerating or hiding something. Because inevitably, if we spend time together, you're going to say, that Will is jacked in his head, and you're going to be right. Right? But Jesus. And so what we need to be saying is like, no, life is in Christ. And if we walk in this together, I think we'd less say that. I'm not trying to glorify the fact that I make mistakes, because I'm telling you, God's moving in a long way in my life, in Brandy's life. But the two of us, we're always talking about like, we're living the things we're teaching. We're not on the pedestal having figured out the things we're teaching. We're simply living those with you. And God is like, Brandy, take this hill and report what you see, right? And she's having to take that hill and report back. And in a lot of ways, I feel that same way. But what we can't be, anyone who's listening, and maybe if you're indifferent about church, I'm glad that you're here, because you've probably said, I can't go to church because it's just a bunch of hypocrites. And you would be right. And we have like three seats for three more right here if you'd like to come in. Because this is the fellowship of hypocrites, right? Because even though, as Paul said, even though I want to do what's right, some reason in my flesh I keep doing that which is wrong, right? I keep falling into sin, feeling tempted, And so we need to be together, so we encourage each other outside of that. See, so the effect is this. If you want life, where do you go get it? Jesus is the correct answer. The real answer for a lot of Christians, and maybe this doesn't hit you at all. That's cool. Maybe you're either lying to yourself or you're farther ahead than me. But growing up in the church and being part of the church, what I found was we've seen life is something you're getting honestly outside of God. And that afterlife is what God gives you. We think that eternal life is what happens after you die. Not eternal life is this, being here with Christ and following his commands. We don't see that eternal life starts now, even in the struggle, even in the battle, even in the war that rages around us, even on Tuesday, even on Wednesday. It's not life is what we can do right now to please a distant God, like we're a pagan culture. Like if I come to church and I sacrifice my 10% tithe and my 3 hours on Sunday morning, then it will atone for the rest of my week. That is not what this is. This is a day-to-day walking with Christ. Blood, sweat, tears, crying, devastating, celebrating, boom, back and forth, life. And so what we offer here is just intellectual stimulation, even from me, things and ideas that hit your head so you know about God, but you do not know him. And then other group, right? Other groups, it's like, oh, I want spiritual experience. So then it becomes like this euphoric thing, like I just want to feel. Bible, yeah, that collects the dust. Just tell me, like, heal, do miracles, God. It's like this euphoric drug that you just need every week at 10:30. And if the magic stops, then God is bad. And so it's either like, okay, God is this distant God, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. You start always praying King James because you obviously speak that way. You know, and you think this distant God there is going to rain down manna from heaven to you to make your marriage is good and your kids healthy, right? And your friendships good and your finances okay and your sexuality handled right. And that's not what Jesus was about. And he was also not about genie Jesus, make the miracles happen so I can feel close to you. And so you see people who are like, wow, they prayed and he was healed and the next day they do crack and you're like, how does this make sense? And who is God, right? You laugh because you've seen it. Like, I've sat with a person like, absolutely true, with a couple who was like ran from their church because they got married and they didn't like her. And then a year later, I get a call, they'll go to dinner with them. And it was like, they looked at me and they're like, we're going to be pastors now for our church. And I'm just like, what has happened here, right? So it's just this, and it's this very spiritual thing. And so we've got to talk about this. But what I want to present to you, what God is offering to us, especially in this day and age, as we get closer and closer. I don't know the day or the time that he comes back. Only the Father knows, but I know that Jesus is preparing a place for us. And so like the bride back at her parents' house, preparing to be married, right? Preparing to for the bridal feast, right? The wedding feast of the Lamb. She's preparing and learning what it is to be the bride of Christ. That's what we do on Sunday mornings. And so I'm telling you, what I have to talk to you about is completeness. I have to bring to you this truth, pray for you, love you in such a way, and walk this out so that he who started a good work in you will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. Completeness is what you want. And completeness only comes from spirit and truth. So sit in a Bible study, talk about all the cool metaphor of history. That's awesome, man. But let it hit your heart. Praise God. Watch him heal people and do miraculous things, but speak to truth. John, all right, written by? John, okay, we're still awake. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Another myth that we've got to debunk before we dig into this a little more is the heart is more than feelings. The heart is more than feelings. What is the heart? Expression of who you are. I'm asking for more, not because that wasn't a great answer, but I need help, remember? What's the heart? Keeps, so the actual organ, right, keeps you alive. It's located kind of in the center, right, of your body. Where you store your treasures, right? Where you keep your treasures. Things that motivate you, right? Rick's got something. What are you about to say? The center of who you are. What would you say? Kind of like a compass. Yeah, so really, this word here, like, I mean, it can mean the literal organ, but it also can just mean the center of man. It's like who you are. I've heard it said that. Your heart is who you are at the core level. It's the center of you. It's kind of the culmination where thoughts and feelings, right? Solomon in 1 Kings, what he asked God for when God said, I'll give you anything. He says, I would like a wise and discerning heart. Your heart could be wise, Michael? Like, I just thought the heart was the feelings. Like, that's the mushy crap I don't want any part of, right? Or that's all I'm about is my heart, right? No, it is more than that. It is. And it's kind of a mystery, right? Because I want to create lines. I'd like to draw a picture of it and graph. Like, this is the feelings, and this is the thoughts, and this is the wisdom. No, who you are, Connor, at the core is the heart. It's the real you. It's the center of the person. Here's the problem. If God is distant, the best you can hope for is to know about him. I love science because there's some good parts of it, but some of it's just silly because you always start with, this is what I think is true, and now I'm going to spend lots of time and money trying to prove what I thought was true in the beginning, right? That's just the way science works. So you watch things, especially about space, and there's like, there's a planet that I think we could inhabit. Okay, did you go there? No. Did you send a shuttle? No, that would take like 3,000 years, but we're pretty sure. Because there was the Hubble, the Hubble caught pictures of it with the telescope. I think that's it. It's this little, how do you know unless you've been there? How do you know unless you've been there? How can you know God unless you've been with him? See, knowing God would be impossible if he was so far away that you could never get to him. God's love, his nature, his grace, his kingdom cannot be explained fully with words. It must be experienced to be known. And here is what the Lord is showing me is the major problem. And here is what John's writing to us to fix. And here's what's still the problem in 2020. Because as we spend life together, and you know, so many of us, right, what are their problems? I want God to do this in my life because unless this changes, then God's not good and I won't be okay. That's one thing. The other thing, this is the most prevalent thing I see in myself and other people, is the difficulty for you to realize how much God really loves you. Man, I'm pointing like 10 fingers back at me instead of one at you, okay? Because my whole ability, even the Bible says, my whole ability to even love God or love any of you has got to be based and foundational on my ability to receive his love. See, my mom and dad, I get that they loved me. So if they took the TV away from me for doing something wrong, then I knew it was for my good. But the God who's distant, who I don't see how much he loves me, when he doesn't give me what I'm asking for, I think he's bad and he hates me. Do you see the difference? So if God is Father, if he really loves you, even the worst day you find joy in because you know it's for your good. But you can't. It's like Morpheus said in that, I can't explain to you the matrix. You have to see the matrix. I can't explain to you God. You have to walk with him and experience him. Okay, so here we go. Here's something cool. Thursday morning, just so that you know, this is not some pitiful advertisement, but there is a Bible study that meets here from 8 to 10. And Josh McCauley's leading that. And guys and girls are welcome. And they're going through parallels of the Gospels. And so we were in the meeting this week, and this kind of got added in. Josh, you don't even know this, because the Lord was just showing me how cool this was. Do you realize if you look at your Bible, and about in the middle of it, there's, well, not quite the middle, but there's the Old Testament, the New Testament is what we call it. Well, in between those two, what you had is you had prophets going on where they were speaking to God, and God was speaking to them, and they were speaking to the people on God's behalf, right? Well, there was a period which is known to be a 400-year period of silence with the nation of Israel. 400-year. And we were in Luke, right? And it kicks off with who's the character, Josh and Luke, the priest. What's his name? Zechariah, right? And so Zechariah, right, just briefly, I'm not going to read that to you, briefly, he has a job. It's his turn. He goes into the temple. He burns incense, right, as prayers to God, a God who's been quiet for 400 years, right? And so you think he's going in there, and like Josh made this point, like, what is he even praying for? Well, he's got to be praying for the nation and the, right, and all the worship facilities. Like you'd see anybody, and we're going to come in here and just bathe these walls with prayer. But then God sends an angel, and he's not talking about church. He's talking about the fact that Zechariah and his wife don't have a kid. So this is real. This is relatable, right? Because you and I know, as much as we want to be really holy in our prayer, ultimately, eventually, like the burdens of our heart just, right? And each one of us have a thing or things that are so deep on our heart that we bring to God. And this was Zechariah's. And he's getting old, and this angel shows up right after God's been silent for 400 years. And he tells him he's going to have a kid, and he seriously doubts it. And then what's he do to Zechariah? He silences him. But so how that matters is, like, I think we live in a world where we all think that God is silent. Again. So just like Zechariah, just like all the Israelites at the time, what we would do is we would go through the motions, and we come to church and we burn our incense and we come to the distant God, right? Who's out there, who we try to do the right things, make the right choices, follow the right laws, and maybe he's going to give us life when we die. And right now it's faithfulness and service. After death, it's life. And I still think in 2020 in Prescott Valley, this is how we're walking. That's why John is such good news. Look at this. John, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Let me pull out a little piece here. Word of life. What's that mean? Word of life. If you Google it, it's the name of like 1,000 churches. But what else does it mean? What's that? Jesus? Okay, that's who it is, but what is it? Physical Bible, the expression? The expression of God through Jesus Christ. These are all great answers. When I'm asking the Lord about it, kind of praying, what it is the expression of what it is to live. Jesus came because one, right? We know this. We know that Jesus modeled because he walked through, right? We have a high priest, it says, that isn't distant and non-understanding. He is endured every temptation known to man, it says, right? He has walked this. He knows what we are going through, man. He knows the dirty, disgusting parts of life. He knows the joys. He knows the ups and downs. He knows hunger and tired and temptation. He gets all of that. Like, he came and showed us how to live, one, and two, he came to give us life eternal. And that's what this is. That's what we're celebrating. Like, why? It's not because Jesus got another year older, 2030, whatever, you know. That's not what we're celebrating. What we're celebrating is every year you and I need to be reminded, because we constantly got this shade over our eyes, like, wait a second, Will. It's December. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did. He came to be the expression of life. He came to be the invitation to life. So shame on me, honestly, right? Like, this is what I'm wrestling with God. Like, Will, where's the joy and the life because of what Jesus did for you? You're missing something here, Will. And that's my prayer. Lord, show us. Like, show us. I mean, do you want life or do you want to be miserable? Do you want life? This is one of the questions I have to ask you. Do you want life? Is it worth fighting for? Are you willing to follow Jesus to it? Or are you going to stick in that old mentality where life is what I get outside of Jesus? So, cool, I'll do Sunday, but then these are the things that are life for me. Right? Will we do that? Do you want life? Right? Let me say this again. That which was from the beginning. Jesus was there at the beginning. Like, this is not a guy that God birthed and taught him in a classroom. This was the guy that was there in creation. All things were created in and through him, Jesus Christ, right? So he was the speaking into creation. Like, he knit you together. Like, me naked is not a pretty sight. Jesus knows it, and poor Brandy knows it, right? Okay? Like, he knows the worst part of me. Like, he has seen that, and yet he still loves me, and he's still chosen me to come up here and speak to you guys week after week and to lead men and women. Do you think he loves me? Do you think he loves you? He birthed you at this point in time in this place with God's grace and his mercy. And I'm sorry that this relationship is going bad. I'm sorry that your body is hurting. I'm sorry that you wanted Trump to win and he didn't, okay? Like, these things suck for you, sure, but God is still good. Do you want life? He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. And he goes, guys, guess what? Here's what's so exciting in his letter. He goes, guess what? Life is coming. We were all just doing our things. 400 years, God said nothing according to us. And we just learned about him. And we sat here and say, Yahweh, please, there's going to be a Messiah. He's going to come and kick the Romans out, right? Or this group, or this group, or this group. Will you come and, like, take our nation back, right? They flew their flags, right? Messiah 2020 or whatever. You know, I mean, they were excited thinking there was going to be some governor that was going to come in and change things. They waited. God was silent. They went to the temple. They did their sacrifices. They still didn't have any babies. They were miserable. Here they are, Zechariah, right? It's like, the only thing I can really do good in life is to have a son. I can't even have that. But sure, I'll go light that incense with a broken heart. Sure, you, all the disappointments of life. And I know it might come across disrespectful, but I just got to be honest. Can we just put the crap away? Like, so many of you guys are miserable because of things. And I get it, because I am too at times. But that's what John, this letter, is calling out to us, saying, guys, it's real. God is not silent. He's actually not far away. Like, we saw him. That which was the beginning, like God, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we looked upon, we've touched with our hands, like, he's here. God came back. And concerning the word of life, and then it says, he wants to tell them more, the life was made manifest, like it appeared, and we saw it. And we testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and we've heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that power, that powerful fellowship? It's that koinonia word, right? It's why I can't stand up there and preach down at you, but I got to sit here and be like, oh, yeah. I mean, I heard like 6 heartbreaking stories already in your lives just this morning from different people in a room this size. Man, there is hard things. There's just hard things. And when we have community and fellowship and these hard things together, and saying you get heaven someday, I know it should be enough. Guys, it should, but my brain's too small. It just doesn't work like that. Sometimes I just need somebody to have a good cry with, right? Or to look at you in the eyes or give you a hug. And John is like, guys, God is, I know you. And a lot of these people imagine, because Jesus came, there was silence. Then God spoke to some people. And then this John the Baptist guy was acting crazy in the wilderness. Then Jesus came. And then for like 3 years, he had ministry, right? Like after 30 years of life. And so some people probably saw and heard, I think it's the Messiah. But they're still in their villages and whatever, thinking that, is God stopped being silent? Or has he, or is he talking now? You know, is he still silent or is he talking? And so John sends this letter to all of them, like, guys, you guys got to know. Everything that was from the beginning, he's here. He's been here. I'm going to tell you about it. We saw him. We touched him. We ate with him. We saw miraculous things. And so we're testifying to you. And in this testimony, we can have fellowship. And then verse 4, John writes, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Their joy can be complete. What? How do you explain joy? You ever try that? It just sounds like happiness, right? What does it feel like? Like the last time you felt joy. So here's my really weird Christmas message to you. What's so cool about what we're celebrating this week is that we have a God who's not silent anymore. As a matter of fact, he's been speaking all along. We just didn't know it. Maybe some of us did. Maybe we've been afraid to say it. But God's been speaking. And so if he's been silent in your life, like this is for you. I mean, go to Luke chapter 2, right? Shepherds, they're in the field, right? From where they live and what they knew about prophecy, I think the assumption would be made, right? That they came from a Jewish background, a Hebrew background, Israelite background, and they're out tending their sheep. In a world where God's been silent for 400 years and they just go to church. They just go to church and do the things so that someday they can live life. But how they live life is the jokes that they tell. Maybe there's like some chemicals they partake in. I don't know. Maybe they just have families and they try to do that. They make money. They try to spend that. They're trying to do all the other happy things that we're trying to do, just like us. And then as they're doing their thing, then this verse 10, Luke 2, verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What do they do? You guys know the story. What do they do? They're like, let's go. That's my really long-winded Christmas message for you, is that we need to, as people of God, as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, what we celebrate is we don't have a distant God who doesn't speak. We have a God who is so close. And what this doesn't tell you, it gets even closer than that. Jesus, as he left the earth, he said, I know, I'm gonna leave, right? I'm going to go away from you. Because John and them were pumped, right? They were pumped. They were walking with the Savior, and they fully still expected him to take over the government. But he didn't. Instead, he let himself get captured. He let himself get killed. But death didn't hold him down. See, he was risen from the dead, and then he came back. And so not only did they see God come to them once, but they saw God come to them twice. So I asked this question of God, if Jesus would come back, because without a doubt, right, even Thomas, that is famous for the doubting Thomas, like, he wouldn't believe till he touched him. I wonder if sometimes some of us, God has to come back about 70 times. Right? or maybe it's 13 times or 43 times, but this Christmas, this Christ's birthday, this time, maybe this is the year, maybe this is his comeback around to you or to me, that we can hear this truth. That I know the world around us that we've been given, that we've been shown, might tell us that we still have a very distant, quiet God. And that life is to be found outside of him. But I'm telling you, okay? I'm telling you, I don't have this figured out. Look at my eyes and my face here. I'm like you. I want a lot of the same things. Even though they changed my first name to Pastor, I still love a lot of the things I've always loved, right? But God is moving in my heart, and so I'm telling you, God is near. He's near. He's so near that if you even receive it and you actually accept that, that God would live inside you. That you'd hear him speak to you in a still, small voice. That he would come rescue you. Well, what do you mean? Well, let me give you an example. I was asked by the high school to coach soccer. One thing I did as a soccer coach, okay? They needed a fill-in soccer coach. Dude, everything in my flesh is like, yeah, help the kids, go play soccer. I was about to do it. I was about to do it. I was praying about it. Like, the world was telling me this is what you do, and I was cutting wood, and God's like, don't do it. My wife knew I shouldn't do it. Other people probably knew I shouldn't do it, but God spoke to me in a still, small voice. He rescued me. Guys, God is so near, he can rescue you from yourself. Like, and I know every day I don't hold on to that, but I've tasted it. I've felt it. I've touched him. He is near. Like, he is back to stay, and he lives with you throughout time. And with him is life. Not outside of him. With him is life. There's fun with Christ. There's love with Christ. There's celebration with Christ. There's silliness with Christ. There's love with Christ. There's good food with Christ. There's sex with Christ. There's all those things. Those things aren't absent from him. You don't have to go outside of him to get them. He is the word of life. He is the expression of the life that God has for you. And your part is simply to believe that, accept that, and walk in it. And we would love for you to come here and we can do this together so that we can have fellowship. Because on those days, when they happen, they will. When they happen, those days where your heart is broken, you need other people to be there with you. To point you back to the fact that God is good, he is here, and he's come to rescue you. And so let's just pray and then sing and then celebrate how good God is and look forward to what he's going to show us as we go through this letter, okay? Let's just pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're real. You're true. You're powerful and you're loving. You care about us. You've come to bring us life, come to rescue us, come to speak truth to us. Jesus, I just pray that you would bring the will of Christ down, the will of God down. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just well up in those that you live, Lord, and that you would speak to us. You speak to us of God's love, of his hope, his truth, his mercy, his grace. Lord, that we would just celebrate that we don't have a distant God like the pagans before us. We don't have to offer sacrifices. We don't have to burn incense up, but we offer ourselves, our very lives, as a living sacrifice to you. Jesus, Jesus, we just celebrate. We sit in your glory, Lord. We sit in your power, we sit in your love, in your presence, in your forgiveness. Jesus, just speak to us, just be with us, Lord. Put your arms around us today. I pray. pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.